getting to know more about God and His Word, and meeting some interesting people along the way. This is the Ben Everson Podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for taking time to be with us on today's podcast.
Well, it's a privilege to be with you.
I am so glad to introduce our listeners to Pastor Dan Dickerson. He is my pastor, been my pastor for just about all my life, certainly all the life I can remember. Calvary Baptist Church in Midland, Michigan. How are you folks doing up there?
Well, by God's grace, we're doing well and so thankful for a sovereign God who works all things together for good. And we have just been praying for wisdom every day, as I know every pastor and every church is just looking to God for how can we use this as an opportunity. I love the statement that man's extremity is God's opportunity. And as we join God in His work, we're just trusting God to use these difficult days for His glory.
Amen. Well, I am so glad to talk with you because I think that how Calvary Midland is dealing with the unexpected circumstances, I think can be a real encouragement to others. And to our listeners, we know that churches are different sizes and different ministry, even styles and such. Calvary Midland is on the larger side of things. We've got Christian Day School. We've got Hidden Treasures Preschool. There's so many upward basketball. If I start naming things, Pastor Dan, I'm going to forget things, and that's dangerous. But just so many things that are going on at Calvary. Can you give us kind of an update on where the ministry stands right now? Everything that's possible has been moved online, day school wise and church wise, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yes, we've really taken the thought as we've prayed about it that we want to just really follow wise practices. And so we're doing everything we can to support both the federal government and the state government in limiting physical contact. So we've just gone full barrel with trying to reach people through audio and video means. And we're really thankful that these things are available really to every church today. I was on a phone conference with pastors from around the state talking about how to handle these things. And I was just encouraged. One of the pastors was pointing out, if you have a laptop and a cell phone, you can begin to stream your church service with an empty building. The pastor can still preach God's word. And we're going right ahead and doing that. When this first came and it was limited to groups of 50, we went ahead and we did not have our whole church meet, but we had a small singing group up there, and a small group of us came in and prepared the service. And we found that we have a lot of people listening, and people who wouldn't normally be connecting are connecting just because they're home, and these are needy times. And we're praying that hearts will be more open now than ever to our need for God in our lives. So we started right away doing that. We're trying to follow the directives now. They're encouraging just a minimal number of people in contact. So we're recording the sermon, and then we're recording the music even separately, and just putting that together. But really, you know, a church of 100 people or 50 people could put their service on Facebook's streaming. I'm just thankful we have these opportunities. And then we were particularly blessed because of having a Christian school that was very proactive in using Chromebooks and using the technology of the day. We were able to just take our whole preschool through 12th grade and put everything online.
Wow.
So it's all online learning now. And even for the preschool, we're providing helps for the parents at home with their kids and so forth. So the whole school, preschool through 12th grade, is online now. And that's a CBA Midland.org if people want to check it out. And then on our church side, we also at CBCMidland.org, we've been able just to provide lots of different things online. And we're finding it's connecting with our youth, children's ministries. Awana is putting out special things for the kids. Our youth group is using Google Hangouts, and the kids are meeting 5 days a week and doing the proverb for the day and discussing it, and then having prayer together online, and they can still see each other. They can connect with each other. And then I'm personally doing a daily, just a 3 or 4 minute daily words of encouragement video. And we're able to download that to our Google Drive, and then we can send that out by Facebook. We can include it as a link in a daily email. And so these are just some avenues that we found. We're seeking to keep ministry going to every age group, and looking for creative ways to stay connected by video and by phone and by text and by these other means, even though we can't physically gather together.
Well, that's wonderful. And I, maybe you'd have a word of encouragement. A lot of times in our Bible believing circles, we can be a little bit behind the times. And I know that in years gone past, some pastors and churches and church members have kind of identified, I think misidentified the technology with the content. So, you know, oh, there's horrible things on television, so you ought not have a television, or there's horrible things on the internet, so you shouldn't go on the internet. Don't you think that that's a kind of thrown out the baby with the bathwater, especially now when we can utilize these tools?
It really is a matter of discernment. And of course, each local church and each pastor has to pray over these things. For us, we have tried to look at technology as a neutral thing, as you pointed out, Brother Ben, that it can be used for evil or it can be used for good. There's nothing sinful about a telephone, and you can use it for immoral purposes or moral purposes. Same thing with a TV or a broadcast or using Facebook or using social media. These are just avenues, they're opportunities for us. And we feel like we should redeem those neutral venues and seek to make the most of them to get the gospel out and get the word of hope out. I think if there's ever been a time when people are fearful, and rightly so, you know, this thing, I got an email from the medical director from a mission board I serve on, Baptist Med Missions, and Dr. Angel was pointing out that this is the largest medical event in 100 years.
Wow.
It's impacting the world. And so people sit home and they watch news, you know, 24/7, and it's a lot of discouragement and death and heartache and loss. And in the midst of all of that, we, and of course, we who are believers of all people, we have a living hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And,
Amen.
So what an opportunity, what an opportunity really this is to get out the message of hope and encouragement through faith in Jesus.
Well, I was following someone on Twitter, and they had posted saying, I don't know how you tally it, but we're probably setting records for how much gospel preaching is going on these Sundays online around the world, where anyone, just about anyone, can that has an internet connection can log in, and they can hear testimony and even music and preaching of the Word of God. If you would have told me 10, 15, 20 years ago that there would be software around that we could get the message of the gospel around the world in people's hands like this, I might not have believed you.
Well, and you know, we have prayed. I believe we who are Bible-believing Christians, we've been praying for a movement of God in our day. We have seen a growing, oftentimes, callousness to the things of the Lord because of the materialism and the pleasure and the success of this. None of us would have asked for this, but certainly as we study history, this isn't the first time that there's been pandemics, there's been heartache, there's been great loss. And though we don't pray for those things to come, and we realize they're a result of the fall of man choosing to go his own way, we still believe in a sovereign God who works all things together for good to them that love him. And I'm with you, brother. Mm. We are just praying that many, many millions of people around the world will come to faith in Jesus, and millions of Christians will be encouraged and revived from perhaps at times we fall into a lukewarmness.
Right.
And that first love would be rekindled in our hearts, that we would just see what really matters is eternity. What really matters is, what is a profit if we gain the world and we lose our soul and the soul of our neighbor, that we love our neighbor and pray for them and seek to connect with them. Even now, we still can connect. You know, we can seek to be a friend somebody on Facebook, you know, and God's led. I'm putting out these daily words of encouragement, just short little video clips. And
yes,
several of my neighbors are on my Facebook, and I'm just praying God might use those little words of encouragement to encourage them and bring them to a friendship with the Lord Jesus if they don't already have that.
Oh, amen. Well, I'm excited too, and I'm so glad that that as God works, God's people overall are being sensitive. And I understand too, there have been some brothers in Christ who have taken a different tack, where they have viewed, the mandatory closing of churches as an assault on freedom and things. And to be honest with you, I'm not a lawyer. I don't understand the intricacies of all that. But I do know that this is something that's affecting all of us. It's not just Christian churches that are being targeted. It's Muslim churches. It's atheist gatherings. It's we're all in this together as a nation.
I agree with you, Ben. I think of the fact that of our neighbor as ourself. And I think in standing for our religious liberties, none of us have conceded that churches should be closed on any kind of a permanent basis. But I think of Daniel in the Bible, when he was commanded to eat the king's meat, he looked at what the motive was behind it. And that was the best food available as far as the king was concerned. He really wasn't trying to destroy Daniel's faith. And in that case, then Daniel made an appeal and he came up with a creative alternative. And then, of course, later in life, when he was commanded to not pray to anyone but the true God, and he realized he'd been set up and there was no way to change the law, he just went ahead and obeyed God and lived with the consequences. But he had the discernment to look at what was the motive behind what was being done. And I truly see this case as the motive of our authorities is not religious freedom. The motive is to protect the health and welfare of our people. And as pastors, we certainly are part of that. And rather than fight government on this, we've been led to be totally supportive. And then just look for these other very, very available reaching and connecting and use it as an opportunity.
Well, that's wonderful. We were out in California when San Francisco area and Sacramento were kind of some of the first. I know it started in Seattle and moved around everything. But when they brought down, they said, hey, listen, you got to stop the meetings. They weren't talking to me directly, but through the pastor. And our goal was to be sensitive to the community around the church. You know, that was super important, because the neighbors to the church know that you're still meeting, and it makes them more afraid and not a good testimony to the Lord. But these are great thoughts and encouragements as well.
Well, you mentioned not letting your good be evil spoken of. And I think that that really is a wise approach. And we're trying to do that even in the videos that we present. We're not trying to present anything other than being supportive of these matters that are health and safety issues. They really aren't, from my perspective, religious freedom issues at this point.
Right. Well, and that's good to remember. And even if you're listening and your pastor has decided to do something differently, we're not trying to be critical of that. But I do think we need to think through some of these important things and how it affects others. But I'm just so glad to have Pastor Dan on. He's my pastor, and that's our home church, our sending church there at Calvary Midland. And if you don't have your own good Bible preaching church to tune into, there are going to be some opportunities now to kind of be apart from a distance from some other places. And so if you don't have another place to turn, I strongly recommend cbcmidland.org, and you can tune in there and gospel preaching. And you said even you're continuing with some music too.
Yes, we're having our musicians record music, and then we're editing that together. And some places would be within their state guidelines, or the federal are saying 10. And so I know of good churches that are still having a very small group meet, and then They record the message and the music and stay within the spirit of what's required. And of course, each state is different. But I think we're wise right now, like you said, to present to the public a testimony of great respect for our authorities, who really, I think, are only looking out for our welfare.
Amen. Well, Pastor Dan, I love you. And thanks so much for taking time out. And we'll get this podcast out just as soon as we can to encourage folks. And we can't wait till we are able to fellowship again.
Well, we look forward to having you back here at Calvary, Ben, and we pray for you and your family. We just are so thankful for your dedication to take the gospel and godly music out on the road and to connect with people around the world. And we pray for you regularly, and we love you very much.
Thanks so much. And thank you, listeners, for listening to this podcast. And if you are blessed by this, you can drop a few shekels in the support bin. But as I often say to folks, support your local church first, because in this time, you know what, Pastor, I was going to hang up here, but you took some time to make online giving a possibility for your church. Was that for Calvary? Was that difficult to do? Because we need to be faithful to our local churches during this time when we're not physically present. Is that something
Yes, that is something churches can do. Our church has the website, which you have given. And then on that website, we have posted there means whereby people can give electronically. And so they can give right online using a credit card. And there are companies and places you can check out on the internet that will help you to set that up. We fortunately had that already set up. And but I would encourage churches to consider doing that, because in these days when people aren't supposed to come out physically, we still have expenses. The utilities are there. The salaries are there. There are expenses for ministry. We're still wanting to support all of our missionaries and evangelists.
Right.
And so I think it's great to have an online giving opportunity for your church. And the way we've done that is by posting it on our web page. And of course, people can still mail gifts in, but I think it makes it a lot easier for people just to be able to use a credit card and go right online and then give their donations, because certainly are needed now more than ever. The whole economy has been shaken, and yet the expenses, like for small, the expenses for churches will continue. The utilities have to be paid. The mortgages has to be paid. The salary has to be paid. And so I think it's just wise.
And the internet service. The internet service.
Yes. Now more than ever, we need that. So I think it's not wrong to let the people know what our needs are and keep them updated on how we're doing so that they can be praying about the financial needs.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Pastor. And we will sign off now, and we'll catch up with you later. And listeners, thank you so much for listening to this podcast today.
Thanks for joining us on the Ben Everson Podcast. Learn more at beneverson.com.